Welcome to Vineyard Church Dungannon, a place where lives are being changed. The following message was given at one of our Sunday gatherings. For more information, visit vineyarddungannon.co.uk.
Lots of faces I don't recognise. It's lovely to be with you this morning. Chantelle and I, we planted Carrick Folks Vineyard 13 or so years ago, and it's been a journey, and Jason and Michelle have been co-labourers of ours and good friends of ours and still are. And so it's just a real privilege and a real honour to share with you all here this morning. I'm just wondering, are there any keen gardeners amongst us? Just raise your hand. Anyone who likes gardening? Just three of you, four of you. Good. Okay, that's fine. Any farmers amongst us? And I mean like growing stuff farmers, not like animal farmers. Does that make sense? Any farmers? You mean I've come to Dungannon and there's not a single flaming farmer in the room? That is unbelievable. I was expecting at least half of you to know. Is that like a complete like generalization prejudice like that I've made there, isn't it? Yeah. Win the crowd. I've shot myself in the foot already. But so I'm not a keen gardener at all. Not in the slightest, but I do see the signs of the times. I love this period of the year, of the season. I love, and you know, you don't need to be a gardener. You start seeing daffodils coming out of the ground that lay dormant since kind of this time-ish kind of last year. And we begin to see, you know, leaves coming back onto the trees and buds and all that sort of stuff. As I was driving to my friend's house yesterday, I noticed lambs in the fields, and it's just that new season, that turning of things. And so as a little bit of a starter to the main course of what I really want to speak about this morning, I just wanted to kind of raise this as kind of just an introduction and offer these verses to you. They're verses that I often sort of come to whenever there's a change of season, either for an individual or for a people. And I just offer this to you as a people, as a starter. And it does link into what we're going to be talking about this morning. It's from Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 10 through to 13. And it's simply Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon, as it's also known. It's this incredible, wonderful, intimate love story between a man and a woman. And we, as the scriptures, as we read it, interpret much of the language to be about this, the love relationship between God, between Jesus, and us, his bride. And so in here, chapter 2, verse 10, says this: "My beloved spoke and said to me, 'Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me.'" This invitation by the lover to the maiden, this invitation from God to us, his people, to his bride, to the church, to the family, this invitation that says, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig trees form its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. There it is again. Arise. Come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me." And I just, as I was preparing for what I do want to share, I just had those verses. I thought, gosh, I wonder if there's something in that that the Lord is saying to you as a people in this moment, in this time, in this season. Again, I'm not a gardener, but I recognize and realize that for things to grow, there needs to be certain conditions. And so this morning, I've been asked to sort of share about how healthy churches grow. And it's your desire, it's our desire, isn't it, for the people of God, that we would grow individually in our faith, in our love for Jesus and our love for one another and our love for those that don't yet know Jesus. But it's also our desire that as a people, numerically, more would come to know him, that this as a family would continue to grow. And so there are certain conditions, aren't there, for flowers to grow. There's certain conditions if you want your crops to reap a really good harvest. There needs to be lots of conditions with the soil, with the climate, and how things are tended for and cared for. And that's what we want to get to and what we want to look at this morning. As we do that, I want to get you guys thinking. And so if we understand that church is a family, which it is, I want you just to consider and ponder this for a moment. What is it, what would you consider to be a healthy family? Now, I realize as I'm asking that question, for some of us, it could have been in the past or maybe is right now. That could be touching on a raw nerve as you ponder and consider your own family. But still, I encourage you to go there and to ponder. And I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to talk, if you wish to, with a person beside you, or just sit alone quietly, whatever it is. What are the things that make a family a healthy family? What is it for you within your role as a person within your own family? What are the conditions? What are the places that make up or constitute a healthy family? I want to hear from you in a minute, so there's audience participation. When I'm not doing this kind of thing, I'm a school teacher. I'm actually a PE teacher, which we sometimes get called jumping teachers. But I'm actually quite, I quite enjoy kind of throwing things out. So I'm expecting you to answer that. So one word or maybe a short phrase. Here's the question. What is it that constitutes a healthy family? And what is your role? What do you consider as your role and your place within that family? Okay, 90 seconds starts now. Think or talk amongst yourselves, then feedback. Go. So just call it out. A word or a phrase. Go for it. Teamwork, communication, laughter, fun, respect. What do you say? Hugs. Acceptance. What else? Caring. Trust, sharing, football, spending time together. What is it? Saying sorry and fear of God. Wonderful. And food. My goodness, you are a really chatty lot. This is brilliant. I would do something similar back home, similar number of people. And it's literally like the keen beans, the three or four, but you're not shy, are you? It's wonderful. Good to see you, Cheryl. I was actually thinking about you this morning. I was. Do you know what? I was. I saw this runner out this morning. As we're driving here, I saw this runner driving. And I honestly thought of Cheryl. I know. I remember seeing you that time, Belfast Marathon. We were all queuing up for the Portaloo, weren't we? And that's... Anyway, and there you were, and I was like, fair play, Cheryl's running a marathon. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. It's wonderful. There's a marathon in every one of us. If you've never done one, it's beckoning, it's calling. There are all these factors, aren't there? All these things that make up a family. And you know what you've even demonstrated right there in those last few minutes is this is a family. This is a wonderful family, and it's legacy of years of great leadership and you guys that have been part of this wonderful family. And lots of what I'm going to say is just stuff that you already know, and I just want to encourage you with it. But for us as parents, by the way, the young lady who's with us is Emily. She's a really good friend of ours, part of our church. She's not our daughter. We're not that old yet, and that's not being rude to you, Emily, but there you go. We do have three children. Two are grown up. One's 20, Sam, who's away right now in New Zealand. Owen, who's 18, he's in Nottingham. And then Hope, 16-year-old's at home with us still studying for her GCSEs. And I wanted to sort of share this as a story because it really ties in. Again, we're going to get to the Bible in a minute, by the way. Don't think you're being shortchanged. Our Sam, he's 20, and years ago, he would have come to an event that you guys used to run called Crash, an event for teenagers that would have come and spent a few days together worshiping the Lord, praying for each other, and then going out into Dungannon and doing some crazy things, just trying to be salt and light to your community. And our Sam, I'm guessing in his sort of early mid-teens, 13, 14, 15 sort of years, he would have come down. He was like the only kid, the only young person from our church would have come here. Jason and Michelle were very kind and invited him down and then spooned him off to Johnny and Nicola Burney. And he would have literally crashed at their house. Like, he would come home and tell us all these stories about how they stayed up till 4 a.m. and all the rest. And us, but we owe a real great debt to those guys and to you for hosting him, because what it did is it paved the way for a number of our young people from our church family to join your church family. And I remember post-COVID, whatever some of that was, I can't remember, we actually sent a group of about 10 of our teenagers down here to join you guys for crash that year. And Sam, our eldest, was coming down as usual, but our middle one, Owen, he was not with the Lord at all. He'd already kind of thrown his head up, and he's like, "No, that's not for me, Mum and Dad," and all the rest. And that was that. So anyway, Sam was coming down to do crash, but he wanted to go rugby training in Carrick before coming down. So I brought him down about 10 o'clock at night, and I wanted Owen, our middle one, to come with me to keep me company, because it's an hour here, an hour back. And he wasn't fussed, and I was like, "Oh, flip, how am I going to get him down there?" So I bribed him with a visit to Apple Green on the way home, and I'd buy him a Greg sausage roll. And that was the deal. And he said, "Yeah, I'll do that." So anyway, so we drive down here, and they were camping in some field. It was like 10:30 at night. Muggins pitched the tent still. I don't know why. It was raining at the time. And Sam's there and he's all excited. He's seeing mates that he knows from here, that he's built up relationship with you guys over the years. And some of our teenagers are already down. And then our Owen says to me, he's like, "Dad, can I stay?" And I was like, "What do you mean, can I stay? You haven't packed a bag. You haven't got a thing." And he's like, "No, I really want to stay." Like, we were like, we would do anything for our kids to get into the presence of Jesus. So it was like, "Oh, and this is actually ridiculous, but yes, you can stay." Unfortunately, Sam had a big tent and you guys had a spare sleeping bag or whatever. And he ended up staying for 3 or 4 days with you here and doing crash. Like, the funny thing was, the next day, bless him, Jason had to take our Owen to Asda to buy him pants and socks and toothbrush. It's totally true. And kicked him out, and that was the beginning of his journey coming back to the Lord. And honestly, it had such a deep, profound impact in his life by being with his peers, being with his friends, and joining you guys for those days. It was a catalytic, honestly, moment for him. After that, he started reconnecting with our church. He stood on the front row, bless him, next to Mum and Dad, and he cried every Sunday. He just poured out his life to God. But that was the beginning. That was the beginning. Because in healthy environments, when the soil is tended to and the right places are created, incredible things happen. And God moves and God changes our lives. And so I wanted to share that with you guys to encourage you, but again, teeing us up for what we are going to talk about. Our scriptures this morning, well known, we're in Acts chapter 2, last few verses. You'll know this, many of you, if you've been around the block for a while. It's this time, it's post-Pentecost. Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's come. Peter stands up, preaches a humdinger. And many come to faith. And in that moment, in that time, the early church is established. And this is what we read. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily, those who were being saved. It sounds a bit like the Waltons, doesn't it? Those of you who are old enough to know. It sounds like, you know, this incredible happy family of, oh, isn't it wonderful? God's doing this and isn't it amazing? And then shame it didn't last, because problems occur. Because when we've got people, problems occur. All kinds of things happen. But in this moment, we get this incredible picture of the right soil, the right ground, the right conditions for healthy things to grow and for others to be added to their number. We learn through this that they, the people, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to being together. They shared the practice of what we call communion. They met and they prayed. The apostles performed the signs and wonders, which we're glad that it wasn't just kept for the apostles, that part of their job was to train up everybody to do the signs and the wonders, and so that everyone gets to play. They met and they prayed. People were amazed. Believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold property and stuff, their possessions, and gave to those around them that were in need. They met publicly every day in the temple courts. They met in each other's homes. They ate together. They broke bread. And as a result of those healthy conditions, God added to their number. I want to look at just three, just put these into three categories and speak very briefly on each one. The first one is that they gathered together. And in that moment, there was teaching, there was fellowship, there was communion, there was prayer. That for us is this moment here, isn't it? It's the Sunday gathering. It's the time in the week. And I'm so glad that actually in our modern life, we still prioritize this, the coming together, the getting up and coming out and being together and prioritizing that. I was thinking about this morning, again, watching other runners who are out running on a Sunday morning. I noticed in the local cycle shop, the cyclists gathering together in all their Lycra gear and about to go off on a bike ride together. We could pass kind of coffee shops or other establishments and sporting places, and we can see that there's many other options. But this is a priority for us. We could be tempted or fooled into having a lie-in or having a family day, going for brunch. But actually, the people of God, we prioritize this moment of being together and coming together. Hours have gone into preparing this morning. Those who take part, those who right now are serving in different spaces, those who brew tea and coffee beforehand, those who came and stuck the heating on or the lights or whatever it is, those who pour hours of their time behind the scenes, which most of us never see, to make sure we've got a lease on the building, that the building is insured, that we've got things organized for the week. Hours and hours go into it, and it's right that we prioritize our being together. This coming together is so, so important as the family gather. This morning, genuinely, it is a real privilege and an honor to be with you. It really is. It's lovely to come and to spend time with you and to see what the Lord is doing. But also, we miss our own family. I know that on our journey home, we'll be texting or maybe phoning people from our home church that we've left this morning to say, how did it go? Who was there? Were there any new people? What did God do in amongst us this morning that we missed out on? And we'll be able to take back and share stories of, do you know what? I met this guy, I met this girl, I met... You want to see what God's doing with these people, with our brothers and our sisters, our wider Vineyard family. So important as we gather, that we gather as a family, as a people. But we gather around the centrality of his presence. If we were just simply going to be together, well, that's nice. But we've got to be in a place where we're expectant for the presence of the Lord. that we're expectant, not just to sing nice songs or listen to a message, but we're expectant for God to speak to us and for us to receive from here. Again, I'm sure there's many of you who've been around the block. You've been part of this wonderful church for many years. And I am sure that you can remember a time or many times when the Lord met with you in this room. I am sure that you could recall that time when you were really courageous and you came forwards to the front and someone prayed with you and you encountered the Holy Spirit and he did something really profound in you. He set you free from that burden or that trauma or whatever that was. I guarantee there are times when he so empowered you and he called you to step out and do something that was beyond your own capabilities or your own comfort. But regardless, the Holy Spirit's presence came to you to equip you, to give you what you need to do the very things that he's called you to. All good things happen in his presence. And as we gather as the family and we prioritize this moment, this time, that we are expectant that he is going to show up and he's going to speak and we are going to receive from him so that we can be sent out to those that he's calling us to. Secondly, the people, the early church, they shared with those in need. And guys, if you as a people can teach the wider Vineyard Church here in Ireland, it's your incredible, incredible gift of generosity and compassion to those who are in need. It is an absolute hallmark of who you are as a church. It has been inspiring to us leading and to other churches, other Vineyard churches here in Ireland, the way that you are the hands and feet of Jesus, that you go beyond yourself. As we were praying up in the rooms over here, I couldn't help but notice in behind the wall there, and I just saw a million boxes of Rice Krispies or whatever. I just thought, gosh, these guys have got more cereal in that room than probably Asda does here in the town. For years, that's what you've done. And may you continue to do so. The temptation for many church is to get comfortable, to keep it contained to the safety of the four walls, that we make it about us. But church does not exist for our own sake. Rather, and it's an extension of the ascended Lord Jesus' commitment to bringing salvation to the world. We exist for the sake of the world. The body of Christ is the hope for the world. And so you guys, as you continue to gather together, you inspire one another, you create opportunity to go, to minister to the poor, the widow, the orphan, those on the margins, those without family, because that's where God's heart is most at. In the Psalms, we read that God sets the lonely in families. And that leads us on to the third thing, the third kind of main point from what we have read about the early church. Not only did they gather together, but they met in their homes during the week as well. Another soil, another condition for healthy growth is that we would be a people who are hospitable. It says that they met every day in the temple courts, and we can't necessarily afford to meet every day. We've got jobs and we've got this, that, the other. But it is important that through the week that we are prioritizing being together, sharing with one another, opening our homes to each other, inviting the stranger, inviting the lonely. COVID showed us, didn't it, that it is not good for man to be alone. And I still think that many of us are still kind of breaking out of the COVID hangover. It's taken us quite a while still to really fully open our home again and have people around for food. And we've gotten better at doing it. And I would just encourage you that we would continue to do that, that you guys would do that. We live in a culture and a society where the Church of Jesus has such a wonderful opportunity. There are so many desperate people that are incredibly lonely, looking for a place to belong, looking for companionship, to be known, to be loved, to be cared for. And the Church of Jesus is that place. We are that people. It is the family business that we get to be those opportunities and those places of gathering. And so my question is, how might you use what you've got for the sake of others? And I say this to you, maybe it's a Carrick Fergus thing, but I dare say it might be for some of us here. Don't let the tidiness of your house be a barrier to having people round. Good, there's a few smiles. There's a few of you that love your house to be absolutely perfect and in all the right places and clean and tidy. But don't let that be a barrier. Open it up. Invite others round. Share. Break bread. Have food. All that good stuff. As you continue to do those three things, God will add to your number. He just will. It's on his heart. You're faithful people. I'm absolutely delighted to see how many there are obvious here. I've just a few things as I kind of bring it into land that I wanted to sort of share. I'm kind of looking at my notes to see what I've said, what I haven't said. So we'll do that. We want to honor the past. You're a testimony to yourselves, the way that you've served, you've laid down your life, the way in which you followed Jason and Michelle's great leadership here. Right now, you're in this season where you're pastorless, but you're not leaderless. You're really not. You've a good set of leaders and a board that are behind you. There are a number of us kind of from the wider family that are dipping in and championing you on. I'm really encouraged. And I want you to know, I want you to be really encouraged this morning. There's great unity. And this is the last kind of things I wanted to land with. That everyone here has their own place. And everyone here has their own role and their own responsibility. One of the things that was said in that passage is all the believers were together and had everything in common. That's a wonderful thing and a wonderful place to be in. But represented here, you're not always going to agree on everything. There's going to be times when you're going to annoy each other. I've been reading this book. I'm a bit of a fan of the band U2, and I really admire Bono. And I'm a really bad reader and a really slow reader. Chantel bought me Bono's book. It's like literally that thick. I mean, I don't do books that are that thick. And my birthday was September, and I've still got a bit to go. And there's a bit in there where he talks about many of the songs that he wrote. And one of my favorite ones, those of you know the music, is the song One. And he wrote, or the band wrote that song during a pretty tumultuous period of the band's existence. There was some conflict amongst the four band members. They were rubbing up against each other and annoying each other. And they wrote that song One as a result of part of the journey in which they had kind of gone through. And one of the lines from the song says, "We're one, but we're not the same. We get to carry each other." And there's a beautiful oneness that comes within the body of Christ, where there's unity, where we love one another, where we prefer one another. And we can have unity and not be the same. We can actually be in a place where maybe we don't have everything in common. Maybe we don't agree on everything. But for the sake of unity and for the sake of loving one another and the sake of preferring one another, we get to carry each other. And we get to do that. And it's just a wonderful picture of what the body of Christ is and can look like. I wanted to have a jigsaw of Dungannon for you this morning to end with. And Johnny Burney, bless him, ordered two. One from Enniskillen and one from, where was the other one place? From Germany. And neither have got here on time. So next week, you've got two jigsaws of Dungannon to look forward to. And you're going to use one of them, or maybe both of them. And you're going to each receive a jigsaw piece. And if you've got children here, or there's people not here, I want you to take a jigsaw piece and give it to them as well. We did this with our church a couple of years back, and it's a really profound kind of act and illustration which illustrates the point. Your jigsaw piece represents you, and it represents your part in the bigger picture. And you're one together, but you're not the same. If you look at the pieces, they're all different. You know, we've all done jigsaws, right? How annoying is it when you've lost the piece? And we feel the pain when those who are part of the picture are not in. And when we put the piece in the right place, guess what? It joins beside the other pieces. And that's what it's like being part of the bigger picture, being part of the body of Christ, when we're together. And your role and your piece is unique, and only you can play it. But you're valued, and your piece in the jigsaw matters. I don't know why we've got four. We must have lost one, because there's five of us, but we've got four jigsaw pieces blue tacked onto our fridge back at home. And I'd encourage you, whenever the jigsaws finally arrive and we get distributing those, that you take those and that you use them, and you're saying, this is my part of the bigger picture of Dungannon Vineyard and of Dungannon wider community, of what God has for us as a people, for this people and for this place. And stick it somewhere where it's going to remind you, this is where I am and where God's calling us to. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information on what's happening in the life of our church, visit vineyarddungannon.co.uk.